Jim has asked me to read with us all together this morning two passages of Scripture. If you'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 18 to 25, and then put your finger in the second chapter. We're going to read verses 13 to 15. Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph awoke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until they gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet: "Out of Egypt I called my son."
Thank you, Dale, for reading the scripture for us, and we appreciate that so much. I want, first of all, to say thanks to all of you who through the years have prayed for me. It's 4 years since I stood behind this pulpit, and I've missed the opportunities, but I've appreciated the intercession of those who love me in the Lord. And so here we are this morning. Things have changed. I don't see you so clearly. I know you're there, but I'll keep talking, and if you leave, I still won't know. Dale has referred, or Jim has referred, to this season. I love it. I love the excitement, the anticipation. It's one of the great festivals of God when we remember the coming of His Son. Now, translators have tried their best to captivate us with the thrilling truth of the coming of Jesus Christ. But none of them have exceeded Charles Schultz. I mean that. And you'll understand why in a moment. One of his characters, that simplistic little soul, Charlie Brown, who's been the butt of so many jokes, and one nativity season, he was appointed to be the announcing angel, announcing the birth of Christ. You know how it is. I know how it is. I woke at 4 o'clock this morning. And I've been awake ever since. And I've preached and preached and preached from 4 o'clock. And now here we are. But Charlie Brown assigned the task of the announcing angel. and he's behind the wings. He's behind the curtain. And then it opens. And out he goes. Over the plains of Judea. To announce the coming of Christ. And he forgot his lines. You know how it is. He couldn't. He gulped. He gulped. But nothing would come. And then suddenly, in a moment of what seemed divine inspiration, he got it. And he stood back and then he let it go. Boy, have I got news for you. How's that for the announcement of the coming of Christ? Boy, have I got news for you. He was right on. Now this morning, we're going to talk about Joseph. What a man. What a man. I believe he was given one of the biggest tasks that God ever laid on human shoulders. To care for his son. To feed his son. To protect his son. To, don't take me to task, and to teach his son. So we're going to look at Joseph this morning. In the gallery of God, in the nativity scene, there are six people. The one who says least is the one we're going to talk about this morning, and that is Joseph. And I want to deal first of all with the man who was acceptable to heaven. We are not talking about justification by faith, by works. We are talking about a man who was acceptable to fill the role that had to be filled in the plan of God. And they chose Joseph. We hear much, and no little, about arranged marriages. In some cultures, it's the accepted thing. But here was a young Jewish couple. I would love to have learned their love story. What was the first glance that Joseph got of Mary? How did it turn his heart over? I don't know, we're not told. But we're told how they were engaged to be married, and then the roof fell in. Mary is pregnant. Mary is expecting a child. And the tender heart of Joseph is revealed. That righteous man wrestled with it day after day, night after night. He wanted to do the right thing by Mary and by God. And while he thought on it, the angel of God spoke to him and said, "Don't be hesitant." And he gave the divine explanation of the birth of Jesus. Many, many years ago, more than I care to remember, I read a preacher saying, in his thoughts, God should not have introduced the virgin birth so early on in the story of Christ. He should have waited until he was accepted. He would have waited a while. But God put it on the front page. Front page challenge. Because if you have doubts about his birth, you've probably got questions about his blood. But here it is. The angel says to Joseph, don't hesitate. Take Mary to be your wife. And we've heard the story this morning. What a man he was. What a man he was. The story of the Saviour's birth and how it was revealed to Joseph. When he took Mary to be his wife. And he did all that God required of him. They were brought together. The Savior was born. Then Joseph began that tremendous, tremendous task of caring for the Son of God. Great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in flesh. But here's the unfolding of the human story of a man in whose heart the love of God reigned supreme. And he cared for the Son of God. Can you imagine having the responsibility of caring for the Savior? Can you imagine the role of a Jewish father in fulfilling the role of a Jewish father for his son and for his family? In 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul tells us that the responsibility of a Christian leader is to make sure that he provides for his family. In the Old Testament, the story is told again of the father having the responsibility of providing for his family. Do you know how faithfully he did it? For 30 years, the devil waited for a chance for a hungry Christ, and he never got it. Thanks to Joseph. For that was the man who labored as a carpenter and provided food for his son, and later the rest of the family. How would you like to have the responsibility of teaching the Savior? I say that reverently. I often wondered about Joseph as they sat around the table, and I speak so reverently of the Savior this morning. I wonder if he had brown eyes. I've always thought of him as having brown eyes. I wondered as he looked over the tabletop toward the man who was his father. I wonder what thoughts he entertained. In the Old Testament, we're told the role of the father is this, that if your son asks, what's the reason for this? And what's the reason for that? The father has to turn him to the Word of God and teach him the truth of God for his childish heart. And Jesus did that. Can you imagine being Joseph, having to teach the Savior as a child? He taught him well. And then he fed him. He taught him. He cared for him. And he did all the things that God wanted him to do. And so, God in all his knowledge says to the angelic messenger, tell Joseph not to hesitate to taking Mary for his wife. And he did. I remember many, many years ago, I think I was 19 at the time, and I was preaching in Glasgow, Scotland. And after the service, I was invited to dinner. Now remember, I was just a young coal miner. And my knowledge of cultural niceties was very limited. And I'm invited to dinner at a coal owner's home. I nearly died. I didn't, but after all, I was going to dine. I wasn't going to die before I dined. But we arrived in the dining room. I had never seen such an array of cutlery. Where do you start? Fortunately for me, they were quite inquisitive, being coal miners, as to what the life of a coal miner was like. And I was glad to tell them, because it kept them talking, and I was watching what cutlery they used first, and I followed slowly behind them. See? That's nothing. How would you like to dine with deity? How would you like to dine with deity? That's what Joseph did. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And there he was, day after day, dining with deity. The man who was acceptable to heaven. But more, the man who was amenable to heaven. For 18 years almost, it was my responsibility to travel the world with Barry Moore in crusade ministry. In our larger crusades, we would have 13 committees, many of them headed up by Christian businessmen. One lesson that I learned was from Joseph. No, it wasn't from Joseph. It was through Joseph. Because that busy man and all his industry was respected by heaven. And so we look at the man who was acceptable to heaven, the man who was amenable to heaven. How do you like to be told to do something after all the arrangements have been made? I've had Christian leaders say to me, our denomination isn't fairly represented in the structure of this crusade. We should have a bigger place. Why did you ask me after all the important situations were filled? That wasn't the attitude of Joseph. The arrangements have been made, divinely made. And then they tell Joseph. And Joseph immediately rises to do heaven's bidding. Are we agreeable to the way God does things? I've heard preachers say, why wasn't I invited to preach there? Why wasn't I given that? That's God's prerogative. And here's Joseph, the man who is acceptable to heaven, and when heaven tells him of the arrangements, he says, Amen. Amen. And he follows in right after God's will. How do we react in Christian service? How do we react when we're asked to do something in the kingdom of God and we're not the first and we're not the foremost? We've been favoured by giving a part in the work of God. I would love to be young again. I would love to have other opportunities, but that's life, and here I am. I'll be 89 on Thursday. And I can't believe it, that God in his goodness has given me another opportunity to speak for him. I thank God for all his goodness to me. But listen to Joseph, the man who was acceptable to heaven. As heaven watched him in his daily life, that's the man for Mary. And then when heaven broke the news to him, he was willing to accept it. Do you know, he came from the tribe of Judah. That's the lion tribe. And Jacob, in his forecasting of his sons and their characteristics, says about Judah, he's an old lion Now you've got to watch. You don't want to disturb an old lion. It can be carnivorous. So they tell the prince of the tribe of Judah, the carpenter of Nazareth, that he's to care for God's son. Do you know this? He didn't even growl. He didn't even growl. He was happy for the task that God had appointed him to do. And he did it not only well, but he did it willingly. And God says in the Old Testament that a man must do it willingly to be accepted. Now, I can't tell the time. The man who was acceptable to heaven, the man who was amenable to heaven, the man who was available to heaven. When God told them to take Mary, here's what the Bible says, and he arose. And he arose. When the angel tells them to take the child and go to Egypt, here's what it says, and he arose. So many people have said, listen, if you ever need help, if you ever need somebody to stand in, don't hesitate to call me. And so you call them. And they say, well, isn't that so late life? Of all the weeks, this is my busiest and I just don't have time. I'm not available. I'd love to be, but I'm not. Listen to, and he arose. And he, if I were writing the biography of Joseph, I would call it Disturbed in the Darkness. After his day's work is done, and he's resting his weary body, and God says, I've something else for you to do. And he arose. And he arose. Brothers and sisters, what's our true attitude to the will of God? As he asks us to do this next thing for him, are we willing to step in and answer the call? Maybe I have rambled a bit because I ran into difficulty halfway through my message. Although I had enlarged my outline, I couldn't read it. But I just want to share with you three simple thoughts. Joseph, the man who was acceptable to heaven. He passed all God's tests. He said he'll do. The man who was agreeable, amenable to heaven. I'll do it. When? Whenever you want me to. I was almost reaching my 50s when God said, do this for me. It reminded me of lines from my youthful days. In life's small things be resolute and great, for knowest thou when God shall say to thee, do this for me. And to Joseph he said, do this for me. And he did it. And we're blessed by it. May God bless this tumbling, stammering word to you and your Christian experience. And I hope that the next time God speaks to you to do it, you'll do it. Our Father, grant us the grace to be obedient. Grant us the grace to be available. Grant us the grace to be willing servants of the Most High. And we ask these things in our Saviour's name. Amen.